evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Mole. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, and I gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. So far this past week, we've been having pretty nice weather. We had one foggy day and a little snow, and now the sunshine. You know, I'm bragging, but this is true. We have as much sunshine, and even more than Florida. So if we don't have sunshine, it kind of keeps you down in the dumps. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Here's our thought for the day. A friend will strengthen you with their prayers, bless you with his love, and encourage you with his hope. Tonight I'd like to speak on celebrate your sources of strength. And I'm telling you, we're living in troubled times, but we're living in good times. Because this old country is going to end up someday. And the way things are going, the signs of the times, it's very obvious that we're living in the last days. But we can take strength from all the encouragement that, well, just the other day, as you know, there our good friend, well, I say good friend, I've never met him personally, but I've talked to him and his wife many times on the phone. He went into Portland for a open heart surgery. And the way I kind of understand it, I don't think he was wanting to go through it, but the time came, he did, and our worldwide prayer service around the world, we started praying for him, and the people in the Dalles were praying for him. That's where he's from. He came through the operation with flying colors. You know, that's the most wonderful thing. I wished everybody in America would get involved with this World Prayer, CBC. I'm telling you, friends, you want things to happen, you call Dale Freeman, my ex-pastor in Oregon, and you tell him of your prayer request, and they'll put it on the email, and it goes around the world in just a few seconds. It's amazing what God can do. Well, anyway, let's read from Nehemiah 8:10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I believe there's a song written about that. Then we read in Psalms 37:39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. Then I also read in Isaiah 30:15, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, but ye would not. Oh, my dear friends, Nehemiah had led his people into a great victory, and the broken wall of Jerusalem had been his burden. Now the wall had been repaired, and the people had risen above their fears. They had overcome their adversaries, and their labor had been rewarded. Well, now Ezra led the dedication service, and shouts of praise were lifted to the Lord. In Nehemiah 8:6, it says, "And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." Well, the people were encouraged to celebrate. I got a phone call from the Dalles. You know, that's my hometown. And Millie and Marie was out at the rest home, and they had the privilege of introducing a lady to Christ. Friends, you see, that's a ministry that won't get much back patting and praise and glory of man, but they're going about their business and are doing it twice a week. You know what? You'd be surprised what you and I could do for the Lord or with the Lord if we would just be willing to do it. Oh, we want to be in the high places. Now, let me tell you a little story. Years and years ago, when I was preaching a revival down in Roanoke, Virginia, this big church, big fancy church, I don't know what kind it was, but it gave a big building to the hippies, and that's when the hippie movement was going strong, the Love Children. And they lined me up an opportunity to speak there. Well, I never spoke in a hippie joint, but I went there and knocked on the door, and this young lady, scantily clad, came to the door. I could smell pot and I could smell booze. And she said, "What do you want?" Well, I said, "I'm supposed to come here and speak for the Lord." She looked at me and said, "Well, you don't look like a football player to me." Well, I said, "Don't judge a thing by the package, you know." So anyway, I walked in there, and they were having those strobe lights, something I can't even, I still get dizzy thinking about those strobe lights. And you could see on the wall the word peace written, and they were banging on bongo drums, and they were shouting and smoking grass and just having a ball. So when it came time for me to speak, I'll be very frank with you, I was a little nervous, a little apprehensive. Yes, I was. Well, I got up there, and I didn't know exactly what I was going to say. I really didn't. I wanted to let them know about Jesus, and I wanted to let them know how I found Jesus. So I got up there, and I said, "Oh, my stars, friends. I looked up there in the wall, and you got the most beautiful word written, peace." Well, I said, "Do you know what? I know the author of peace." And then I went on, and I shared my testimony. I believe there was three or four hippies came and gave their hearts to Christ. Friends, that was an exciting day. Even though I was frightened, the Lord gave me the strength to say what I had to say. And I'll tell you right now, if you're down in the dumps and you don't have much going for you and you kind of say, "Woe is me," and maybe you're on the pity pot, why don't you call upon the Lord and ask Him to give you the strength to carry on the job that we're called to do? Beloved, you hear me say this all the time. Every blessed one of us who name Jesus as our Savior, we have a job to do. I was telling someone the other day, the Lord laid this on my heart. You know, there's nothing more beautiful than a nice a picture puzzle. And you can get them great big ones or little ones. And so here you got a 5 by 5 foot by 5 foot picture puzzle, and you put it out on the table, and you work for days putting that puzzle together. Well, finally, you got it together, and guess what? There's one little piece missing. It is not there. It's gone. I can't find that piece. Well, no matter how you look at that picture, it's incomplete, it's imperfect. Well, that's the way I figure it is with the Lord and you and I. You might be the missing part of that puzzle. And until you get your place in that place, God cannot use us. We're supposed to work together as a team. Now, you take a basketball team. Now, we had a superstar here. Anthony, his name was Carmella. He was a superstar, but he had an attitude. He had a bad attitude over at the restaurant not too long before they moved back to New York. Him and another player was sitting there eating dinner, and a little 7-year-old boy walked up and asked for his autograph, and he said, "Go on, get out of here." Now, you see, here's a man. He's a millionaire. Yes, he gets $63 million for 5 years. And he has forgot the little people that stood by him and stood with him. Well, we're little people, friends, but when we get together, we're big people. We're strong people. Did you know, I was talking to a woman down on the Sandy River, and he had twins. And both of them became very wealthy. But at one time, they were very poor. And the father was going to have to let them out or adopt them out because he couldn't support them. And the one boy went over and he got a handful of willows, dry willows. He said, "Look, Dad," and they put them together and he bent them and they broke right up. Then he went out and he got some green willows and he bent them. But they didn't break. They stuck together. He said, "Daddy, we got to stick together. Me and the children, the daughters, we got to stick together." Both those girls went on to become millionaires owning TV stations in Seattle. So, you know, we got to pull together and not apart. You say, "Well, see, so I've heard you criticize some of these churches." That's right. You know why? Because I want them to do something for the Lord. And you see a church that don't give an invitation, then you realize that they're not really caring for the souls of men. That's correct. And then you hear this bodacious music they have, guitars and trap drums and bass fiddles, and they get up there and they do honky-tonk music. You can't even understand what they say. And they call that praise music. We need to get that trash out of our churches. We need to get a piano and organ in there, and then you can have good music. And then you got to get the songbooks out, the old hymnals about the old rugged cross, and what a friend we have in Jesus, and there's power in the blood, and in times like these, those songs tell a story of redemption. That's what we need to hear today. But many of our churches are not preaching salvation. Well, let's take it. The Mormons will tell you that unless you get baptized in their church, you can't go to heaven. And then, of course, the Jehovah Witness don't salute the American flag. They say only 144,000 are going to heaven. They don't know their left from their right. But this is what we're facing in America. You got to know how to get the chaff out. Well, it tells us in Nehemiah 8:10, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them, for nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The people were encouraged to celebrate. They were told to be joyful, not solemn nor sad. Friends, let me tell you what. A smile can change a person's attitude. Have you ever walked into a place and sat down and the waitress comes and she's got a gloomy old face? Just give her a big old rich smile. You'd be surprised what that'll do. I told you years ago about I was pastoring in Anacortes, Washington. And one day I was going somewhere, and it was a terrible, rainy, windy, blustery day. And I thought I'd stop this restaurant and have a cup of coffee. And I went in there and sat down, and this lady come over and said, what would you want? I said, isn't it a beautiful day? And she looked at me like, this guy's got to be out of his gourd. He's got to be dingy. Well, and she didn't comment, but she brought me my coffee. Now, friends, this is many, many, many years later. I was in that area again on visitation. I'd moved away, and I was there in visitation. Anyway, sure enough, here come this dear lady that waited on me so many years ago, and I told her, what a beautiful day. She said, Mister, you remember when you came in here a few years ago, and it was nasty and windy and blustery, and I was so down, and you came in there with a great big old smile on your face. Isn't it a beautiful day? And she said, I thought you were nuts. But did you know something? You don't know how that touched my heart. You gave me a word of encouragement, which gave me strength to go on for the rest of the day. Well, these people could have been discouraged. And they could have compromised with their enemies. And friends, that's the one thing I pray, that I will not be a compromising preacher. There are a lot of them in the world today. If the Bible says, I've given you life eternal, that's what he means. If he tells you that he's going to give you a victory over something, that's what he means. If you're down the dumps and you go to the Lord and you ask him, give me something, Lord, that'll give me some encouragement. He'll give you something in the Word of God. Well, the joy of the Lord enabled them to keep on building. Now, hey, we ought to be joyful for God's love, His grace, and His salvation. Now, the joy of the Lord will replenish our strength every day. The presence of the Lord provides strength. Psalm 37:39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is our strength in a time of trouble. What is your trouble today? He is their strength in the time of trouble. Now, do you believe that or don't you? You say, well, boy, I'm going through some trouble today. Well, call upon him. Talk to him about it. He wants to hear from him. We talk about a personal Savior, yet we don't want to talk to him. He is personal. He said, bring your stuff to me, and I'll talk to you. I'll help you. I'll encourage you. I'll give you hope. I'll give you what you need. We all go through times of trouble. Now, it says in Job 5:7, man is born unto trouble, as the sparks only upward. Man is of a few days and full of trouble, Job 14:1. Man is of a few days and full of trouble. Have you ever heard these Pentecostal preachers on TV? They'll tell you, now here's what you do, my dear friends. You send me a $1,000 seed, and all your financial problems will be over. All of your family will be saved, and you'll never have a bit of trouble the rest of your life. Now, that is a complete lie out of hell. Peter said, you will have trials, and you will have tribulations. Now, it says here in John 16:33, in the world ye shall have tribulations. Well, Christians do not face trouble alone. You know what he says in Matthew 28:20. And lo, I am with you always. You remember me telling you the story of a doctor who was an alcoholic. He got converted to Christ and delivered from alcohol. A man walked in there one time. He said, "Hey, Doc, you know, I want to ask you a personal question. When you're alone, do you ever decide maybe you'd like to have a little nip?" "Well," he said, "I probably would, but I'm never alone, for Jesus lives in my heart." Oh, what a great response. "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." When trouble overthrows the wicked, it only drives the righteous to their strong helper, who rejoices to uphold them. Now, the promise of the Lord providing strength, Isaiah 30:15, "Everyone that is found shall be thrust through, and everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." We can rest securely on the promises of God. Now, God promises are strong anchors in life. I love that song. In times like this, we need a Savior. We need an anchor. Well, we're living in those times right now. And God promises bringing strength in times of waiting in Isaiah 40:31. "But they that wait on the Lord," upon the Lord, "shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and be not weary, and they shall walk and faint not." Do you have a promise from God that gives you strength in trembling times? Let's celebrate our sources of strength. Let's celebrate our Savior and His salvation. Discouragement, listen to me, drains away our strength. Faith gives the victory, enabling us to overcome discouragement and find peace. Do you have that today? You say, "Well, Cecil, I don't know." Let me ask this. If you were to die today, where are you going to spend eternity? You say, "Oh boy, don't ask me that, because I don't know." If you don't know, then you're lost. You're doomed and damned. And you are on the road to hell. And you have no peace. Only when you find Jesus as Savior, then you'll find peace. Your sins will be forgiven. Cast in the sea of forgiveness. If you don't know Jesus right now, and you have a tugging at your heart by the Holy Spirit, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to bow your head to me right now. And I do not want you to pray this prayer unless you really mean it. And here's how the prayer goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. I know, Lord, I've done awful things in my life, and truly I am sorry. And Lord, tonight, you've been tugging at my heart and have for a long time. Tonight I want to settle it. I want to ask you to forgive me. Come into my heart, Lord, and save me tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, why don't you get on a phone call, 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I will not embarrass you. I certainly will not write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Friend, if you can't afford this call, call me collect, 303-471-8534. I am concerned where you spend eternity. I am waiting for your call. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening, and I pray that we give you a little encouragement. Keep looking up. God loves you. Christ died for you and me. We're not alone in this battle. He said, I'll go with you to the end of the earth. Now, friends, listen, I want you to continue to pray for Bud McGee for his open heart surgery. Pray that he'll get home soon with his family. Pray for his wife. And do pray for that church in the Dalles. They're looking for a spirit-filled, spirit-led pastor that'll come in there and visit and win souls and put some deacons in that church. And oh, I want that church to be a lighthouse unto the Lord. Oh, friends, that's my hometown. Oh, I love that old place. Many good memories, many bad memories. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, keep praying for us. Pray for our health. And I want you to stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.